Back in 1973, a little more than a year after I was married, Nikki and I went back to Thailand. I was reassigned back there for another year, and decided it was time for me to meet her family. Yeah, that's right. We were married for over a year or so, and I hadn't met her family yet. So to say we haven't quite had a traditional marriage is an understatement. But we decided time to meet them now, so I bought some gifts to take back to them. I'm not really sure where we're going, but she gets this little Datsun pickup guy to drive us back to get to her parents' house. And we're driving down what we call here in Michigan a two-track. It's just jungle on each side and a road that you see tire tracks going through. We're driving and driving, and I wonder, where in the world are we going? Finally, she tells him to stop, and he does, and we're in the middle of nowhere. There's no visible signs of life anywhere, just the jungle. So I said, why are we stopping here? She said, this is where we get out. I said, okay. Is he coming back to get us? She said, yes. I told him to come back at a certain time. All right. So we get out, and I have all these gifts I'm carrying, and she's carrying some gifts. And the truck turns around and heads back, and it's kind of like watching the life raft drift away. It's quiet except for the sounds of I don't know what kind of animals they were. And she takes off to a tree, ducks under, and I duck under and we're on this little dirt path. We're walking through the jungle, and I'm looking all over. I've heard about the snakes in Thailand called the two-steppers. They bite you and you take two steps and you're dead. And then, of course, I'm always a big fan of the Wizard of Oz, and all through my mind is going, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. After we're walking for a while, I said, dear, how much farther do we have to go? He goes, I'm not really sure. Well, that was reassuring. I'm already nervous enough, and she's not really sure. And but it wasn't long after that that I could see up ahead a clearing, and there was a place where her family lived. I remember three houses up on stilts, and there was a little rice paddy out in the back, and her mom and dad lived in one house, and brothers and sisters and their families lived in the other two houses. And they all came out, just like you see in the movies, happy to see a white man. And even mom and dad were smiling, so I thought, well, this can't be too bad. But I can only imagine what it would have been like if Nikki wasn't with me. If she had given me directions and went before me and said, this guy's going to take you, and then you get on this little path and follow it back, I wouldn't be here today if that was the case. I would have been lost, or I would have been dead, one or the other. But I was so thankful back then that she was by my side, and I'm still thankful today, 46 years later, that she is still by my side. There are plenty of dangers out there, but I was protected. She knew the dangers and what to watch out for, as well as did her family. Biggest danger, I think, was when I got back there, they offered me a drink of water out of this big jug that collects rainwater, and I looked in it, and there was all kinds of things floating in it, and she even said, don't drink it. That was their drinking water. Her brother scurries up a coconut tree, gets down a coconut and chops it off and hands it to me to drink. That's pretty good stuff, Pastor Greg. And thankfully, the truck was there when he was supposed to be to take us back home. So, well, today, and I want to close out chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. I might have said we were going to do that last time, but last time we touched on false teachers, false prophets, and dealt pretty heavily on that. And today I want to focus on the good teachers, the true teachers that God has blessed us with. And much like Paul and Timothy were friends, and Paul and Timothy walked side by side, as my wife and I did for many years. Paul speaks to Timothy of how Timothy followed him in good and bad times, and he encourages him to continue in the things he learned from him. So let's read this portion here. What do I have marked? 2 Timothy. Let's read 2 Timothy. What do I have in the 10 through 17? Yes, chapter 3, 10 through 17. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Other versions of that last verse 17, so that the man of God may be perfectly equipped or completely equipped for every good work. Paul reminds Timothy here of how Timothy followed his teachings concerning Christ, as well as he knew of Paul's conduct, he knew of Paul's purpose, faith, he knew of Paul's patience, his love, and perseverance. In essence, what he's saying to Timothy is, you know me, you've traveled with me, and as I taught others and taught you, you were there. And I taught what? I taught truth concerning Jesus Christ, is what he's saying. The truth that was revealed to Paul from the Scriptures through our Lord himself during those 3 years, I believe, that he was in the desert of Arabia. But he said, you were with me, Timothy. And we know that as we started this book more than a year now, Timothy, it appears to be concerned about what's going on with Paul now. Here's Paul, the man he followed for so many years, the man taught him, the man that he did so much for in a prison. And Paul even tells him that this is probably the end of his life. So Timothy's got some concerns. He's a little worried, a little frightened, it seems. But Paul is trying to reassure him there that continue in the things that you have seen me do. Continue in the things that you have heard me teach. He says, you also know what persecutions and sufferings endured for doing so. And he gives us some examples in our chapter here. He says, persecutions and sufferings in verse 11, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. And these examples he gives, this area, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, is the very region in which Timothy lived. And these persecutions Paul suffered that he's talking about here were prior to Paul even taking on Timothy to be with him. So Timothy obviously witnessed these persecutions even before Paul took him on as one of his disciples. And I'm sure that he witnessed the stoning of Paul at Lystra, because that's where Paul took Timothy and took him on with himself. And he witnessed that stoning, and he witnessed his returning back to this very city to strengthen and encourage the disciples there. He says to Timothy, you've seen these things I endured, and you've seen that out of them all the Lord rescued me. And that's Paul is saying in the emphatic, the Lord rescued me, with an exclamation point. And as I went back, I read through the persecutions in Antioch and Lystra and Iconium, and I read about the stoning there, and what a sight that must have been. They stoned Paul in the city, and then they dragged him out, his body out of the city, and just dumped it out there. And there are all of Paul's disciples, and Timothy must have witnessed this. There are all his disciples just standing around, assuming Paul's dead. We don't know what to do now. Our mentor, stoned to death. And then, all of a sudden, as they're looking down on this presumably lifeless body, Paul got up, kind of dusted himself off. Okay, I'm adding that. And what did he do? Went right back into the city. What an impression that must have made on Timothy. And that's what he's trying to tell Timothy, to remember these things. And the next day, Paul travels to Derbe. It says he preached the gospel when he traveled to Derbe. Now, I don't know about you, but working outside, doing whatever, chores for a whole day, the next day I'm pretty well shot. And I'm moaning and groaning with aching muscles. Here's a man that was stoned, supposedly to death. And the next day, he's on the road going 100 miles to preach the gospel in Derbe. And he tells Timothy to remember this. Remember the thing. And then he says, which doesn't sound very reassuring as I've stood before, then he says to Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But even so, he said, in all of my persecutions did the Lord rescue me and will rescue me. As we end this book, we're going to read back in here. Well, you don't have to turn to it, but it's such an encouragement to Timothy. It says, but the Lord will rescue me, Paul is saying, from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That last song we sang reminded me of that. We have a hope, and that's what Paul had. Paul had this living hope. How much do we really have that hope to carry us through the difficulties that we face in life? Paul's a remarkable man when you read through his history and read through all that he endured. And he never looked back. He just kept going on and kept going on right up until he was supposedly beheaded. And why? He tells Timothy here, because I know that there is a hope waiting for me. And I know that when this life is over, I'm going to be where God has promised me I'm going to be. And that hope isn't just given to Paul, is it? It's given to every one of us who have trusted in Christ, every one of us who Christ has redeemed. So let's lean on that hope. And that's a hope that Paul was teaching throughout all of his epistles. He was always teaching about the hope that is before us, about the hope that awaits us. Didn't he say in Corinthians that if in this life only we have hope, what are we? We're of all men most miserable. He was speaking of a hope that was to come. Yeah, this would be a pretty miserable life if that's all we had to look forward to, was this life, wouldn't it? I mean, you hear the prayer request every Sunday, and man, it's cancer and accidents and deaths, and this world is a sin-cursed world. And if we only had hope in this life only, I don't know if there'd be anybody sitting in this pews. What would be the point? But we have an eternal hope, and we need to really take that into the reality that it is. We need to take it from head to heart, to truly believe it and to truly trust in it, as Paul did, and as Paul is telling Timothy to do, as Timothy is going through a somewhat fearful time, knowing that now Paul's going to be leaving him and he's going to be on his own. So he says to him, don't be concerned. Now, I'm kind of interjecting thoughts in here. But basically, he's saying, don't be concerned or fearful for me. For no matter what I'm going through, ultimately, I will be brought safely to his heavenly kingdom. And then he goes on to tell him that evil men will grow from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of. Those things you learned from me, and the sacred scriptures which you have known from childhood. That's where wisdom comes from, which leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what he's telling him here. He says there are going to be persecutions. He said evil men aren't going to get better. They're going to go from bad to worse. They're going to continue to be deceived, and they're going to continue to deceive, but you continue in the things you have learned. It says in verse 14, and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, which I believe this is speaking of Paul here. Him, and Paul is a perfect example of a man who lives his life according to his words. And the same applies to all of us today, doesn't it? God has blessed us with men whom he has given the gift of teaching. That truly is a blessing, that God has gifted us, or blessed us with gifted men with the gift of teaching. Paul tells us in Ephesians that the purpose of this gift, and as well as others that he has given to other saints, the purpose of it is to what? To equip the saints, that's us, and all those who are in Christ, to work towards the building up of the body of Christ, the church. The King James Version uses the term edify in place of building up. But God has given us learned men gifted with teaching for the purpose of building this body up. One with the gift of teaching, somebody can teach and not have the gift of teaching, all right? But someone cannot teach the Word of God properly without having the gift of teaching from God. This is a person who gives much time in prayer and study over the Word of God to promote the spiritual growth and development of character of believer. They are those who diligently study the Word of God, learning its truths, communicating these truths to others for one purpose only. And that purpose is to promote the growth and development of those in the body of Christ. A couple of weeks back, we were talking about false teachers and false prophets. What was their purpose in teaching? It was not this. It was not to promote the growth and the development of those in the body of Christ. Unlike those men who do so, those who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, Paul tells us earlier up in our chapter, are not those who are gifted by God. A true teacher is one who teaches the whole truth of Scripture. Not a watered-down, warm, fuzzy version intended only to appeal to your emotions and does nothing to change your character and conform you to the will of God. Get that? That's what a true teacher does. A teacher gifted by God. He gives you the whole Word. You can go into churches today that say they're Christian churches, and you'll never hear the word sin said. You will never hear the word hell spoken of. You will never hear the judgment of God spoken of. That is not the whole Word of God. Like I said, you'll just get warm, fuzzy, watered-down truths that they call truths to make you feel good. And you go out of this service or whatever it is, and you do feel good until you go to work the next day, because there's no substance to it. These are things that you hear from many pulpits today that I said, and they're the same things you get from movies, from televisions, from social media. Warm, fuzzy little sayings. Everybody being nice to everybody. Nobody wanting to speak really the truth. You got, it's always about building up one's ego, building up one's self-esteem. This is what you get. I mean, if you watch television, and I've heard these expressions used on television, is like the Hallmark Channel. Oh, who could say anything bad about the Hallmark Channel? Aren't those warm, fuzzy movies? They just reach into your heart and make you want to celebrate Christmas every day. And the one that's attracted to another, you go through the whole movie knowing they've got a thing for each other, but something's always interfering, and then in the end they get together, and you're so good. Well, the reason you hear these same things in some of these pulpits is because that these men and women, they're not teachers gifted by God. They're actors. Plain and simple, they're actors. They're actors saying pithy little statements like, and I've heard these statements from some of these churches and from the Hallmark Channel. Just follow your heart. Someone comes up to someone for advice. What should I do? Just follow your heart, honey. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. What is yourself telling you? Believe in that. Follow your dreams. How often have you heard that? Just follow your dreams. Be true to yourself, whatever that may be. If that means you were born and have into a homosexual tendency, be true to that. That's who you are. Be true to yourself. Be who you are. This is what is being taught on television, being going around on social media, and unfortunately from a lot of the pulpits of the Word of Faith and Prosperity churches that are out there. So, if you like the Word of Faith movement, I got a thing for you. You don't need to go to church. Just watch the Hallmark Channel. You'll get the same thing. And then you don't have to spend gas to go to this church. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pick on these people anymore. My focus today, I wanted to be on the true prophets, the true teachers, those who are truly gifted by God and who we are blessed to have. A faithful teacher, a gifted teacher from God, he is one who reproves. This is what our word says. He rebukes and he exhorts his hearers. There's more to the word of God than just exhortation. There's reproof and there's rebuke, isn't there? And Jesus is the ultimate example of one speaking the truth. Let's turn to John chapter 8 and see what he had to say there. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 8, and let's start in verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father." Right now, here comes the warm fuzzy. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, and I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin if I speak the truth? Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Now just imagine if you went into a church and this is what was preached to you. Our Lord is God in the flesh, and he teaches the complete word of God as revealed to him from God. He presented the gospel to them here, right in the beginning. And in so doing, he exposed the sinfulness of their hearts and told them who they were really following, a murderer who has no truth and speaks nothing but lies, for he is in fact the father of lies. And of course, that is Satan, is what he said. And he's the father of lies because we can read in our Bibles here that right from the very beginning is the very first thing he did with the very first people that God had made, was deceived them and lied to them and twisted around the word of God so that he could achieve what he wanted to achieve with them. And it worked. And it's still working today through false teachers and false prophets throughout the world. Not just in this country, but throughout the world. We should thank God, and I really mean this, we should thank God for those whom he has gifted as teachers and placed among us. Men who teach the whole word of God, who are willing to commit the time and energy it takes to do so, through prayer and diligent study, and, as I said before, for one purpose only, to glorify God by seeing his saints grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God the Father. That's what a true, gifted teacher of God is trying to do. He's bringing the Word of God unhindered in its fullness for one purpose, to glorify God and to see all of us grow in wisdom and knowledge of our Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ. The false teachers won't do that. The false teachers preach for one purpose: money, filthy lucre, fame, prosperity. Here you receive teaching from Greg and from Pastor Greg, teaching that is to build you up in the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And these men don't come up here and stand at this pulpit and just wing it. They put time and effort into studying and prayer, asking God to reveal to them what his word is telling him, and that they can express it in a way that would reach our heart and cause us to be conformed to his image. I'd like to close with a few verses that speaks on what God has to say about these men, these true gifted men of God, and how we are to act towards them. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Probably all scriptures we're familiar with, but let's just rehearse them again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Turn over to 1 Timothy few pages, chapter 5. Again, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Then let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we'll read two verses, verse 7 and 17. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So, just want to leave us with those scriptures as we close today, that just to realize how blessed we are to have men whom God has gifted teach His Word, and they do so not for themselves, they do so for the body, to see the body grow, to see the body conform to the image of God, and we should thank them. And we should try to understand how much time they put in doing what they're doing. It's not for them they're doing it. It's for you, and it's for the glory of God. Amen? Let's close in prayer, and we'll have a closing